Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their insights, their time, and their expertise to help us grow in our business in tech. My name is Gary Lafferty, the creator and founder of the Authority Accelerator, where we take experts within the tech field and elevate them to becoming a... Damn it, Gary.
You had it going real well. I was like, wow.
You know what? In like 50 episodes, that's the first time I've stumbled on that one.
I got you nervous, Gary?
Well, I'll tell you, I've never actually, every day's a fun day. It's just been a long day. Friday's my recording day, all right? So it's just been a really, really long day. Okay, so I am going to start again. Welcome to the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise so that we can all grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafferty, the founder and creator of Authority Accelerator, where we take tech leaders who are experts in their field and elevate them to the authority status so that they can do the choosing of their clients rather than the other way around. On this episode, I am really excited to have our guest, Max, where we're going to be talking about growing and sustaining a business in tech today. We're going to be talking some ground root stuff and then some really in-depth stuff. So make sure you stick around because this is going to be an absolute cracker of an episode. So without further ado, Max, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Why don't you start off by introducing yourself a little bit about who you are, what is it you do, and who you help?
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Max Krzyżanowski. I'm the CEO and founder of MOS Creative. We're a software development and digital agency. Been in business for, at this point, a little over 15 years. I have a very interesting journey. We work with a lot of entrepreneurs and startups and growing companies that are trying to build products to change, innovate, create a better product within the industry or improve the product within the industry or be able to create a better operations internally for themselves to be able to grow to the next level.
Gotcha. So I can't wait to dive a little bit more deeper into that. And when we get into the episode, you've had, like you said, you've had quite an interesting journey in your career in tech. How did you get started in the business and what led you to where you are today?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I was actually in a very different business with a business partner. We were in entertainment, specifically in nightclubs and print management business. And this business just kind of came about. We had a need to create websites and campaigns for ourselves to drive traffic specifically for the nightclub. And then we started creating websites. At this point, there really wasn't mobile applications, but creating websites. And one thing led to another. We started planning, designing, building web applications, mobile applications, software, started driving campaigns through SEO, through content creation. So that's how software development and the digital agency came about.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Listen, you, as I said, isn't it funny how it just suddenly turns? You don't intend to go down one particular road. And as entrepreneurs, you know, we have a vision of what we think might happen, but we just get pulled from pillar to post and then we end up going in a different direction. What would you say has been probably the biggest lesson that you've learned since being an entrepreneur?
That's a great question. Definitely listen to your gut, but develop what that feeling or that message is, because a lot of times we get a feeling, but we're like, it took me a while to really understand what that gut feeling is, right? To really have a clear understanding. I mean, it's not like, it's like, oh my God, I should do A or B, right? But it's more of a pull to a certain direction. I think that's really been important in my life. I've been through ups, I've been through downs for being in business for so long. For myself, out of college, I've never had a really full-time job. This is what all I've done, you know. So, but yeah, as you said, as an entrepreneur, you know, you're always open to interesting ideas. Sometimes they do take you away from your vision, from your goal. But sometimes the vision, the goal that might seem so realistic and clear to you might not be the best solution, right? So you have to be open. I had an interesting client we were building an application for. He was building an app for buildings to be able to let them know, like for condo buildings in Washington, D.C., to let them know when buses were coming up, Uber, any public transportation. And it's so interesting. This is not the business he was in. He was offering something completely different. He came in, he was talking to, I think, the HOA, and somebody was like, hold on, you're doing what? Because he was talking about screens. He's like, yeah, we have this type of product where we're able to give information in terms of, like, I think it was specifically for condo owners when they received something as a delivery. They're like, here's actually what we are looking for, right? And if you think about it, similar to somewhat product, different interface, different type of data that was going to be shown. Yeah. So he listened, he built that, and then they just grew like crazy, you know? So sometimes those moments, if you're listening, if you're not completely blocking everything away, but you're saying there might be an opportunity, maybe a little bit of pivot, sometimes it's a bigger pivot, but you have to listen to it. I think that's that's another thing that's been very instrumental, because you know, people ask me, how did you get into this? You were doing product, we were doing print management. Like, what that means is we're collecting empty toner cartridges, we were reselling them, we were recycling them, we were also servicing printers, copiers, faxes. That was my initial business. And then we got into nightclub entertainment. We opened up a nightclub because we used to do different events. And then from there, this just kind of came along. But the reason why I pulled this in was because, you know, print management, not the sexiest business, very commodity based. You know, it's whoever has the cheapest price, right? Or like, we had a really cool technology for it to manage how people printed, but it wasn't like the sexiest thing, right? Technology with specifically websites, web applications, mobile applications, software, how traffic gets driven, how it gets converted, how do you understand what it is, right? How do you provide a good user experience? That really kind of connected with us. And we were already doing this for our own businesses. Like, it's not even close to print management. You know, it's not even close to nightclubs, but it just had some kind of meaning to us. So I remember like it was yesterday. Actually, I just spoke to my business, my previous business partner not too long ago. And I was like, remember when we had this opportunity? And I was like, Alex, I think this is going to be our future. And I'm still in it. He's still in it. He's doing something different. You know, we've worked together and a few other things afterwards. But yeah, you have to be open to it. Again, you're open to it. You listen, you observe, evaluate. Hopefully the gut check gives you a good feeling about it. And if it's good and if this is what you want to do, then if you have to pivot, you pivot, you know? Or if it's something that you have to do in your business, you do in your business.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a case of take the opportunity to find an opportunity, isn't it? Right. If there's something presenting it, you take it, and then you don't know what door is next from that opportunity. So it's great. But I want to dial back a little bit, because there's going to be people listening here, and obviously a majority of our audience is in the tech field. And you said something earlier, which some of them I've gone, oh, tech is all about data. And you go, trust your gut. Gut's a really good thing when it comes to business. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What? Delve in a little bit. Give us an example of when following your gut has helped you in business, because most people just follow the data. The data's there. It's black and white. It's zeros and ones. This is what it is. Gut's a completely different factor. Give us an example of how that's example of how it works with you.
So I have a really good experience, since we all just experienced COVID not too long ago. You know, in many industries, specifically let's say in tech, you always hear niche down and focus on one specific type of product or service offering or industry, right? I've never, like, yes, you should have several that you should know very well. Obviously, probably 90% of us in the tech world are going to be like, well, if we're building a website, web application, mobile application, software, it's probably going to be across the board. That's the more common approach. I've never really said, okay, we're only going to focus on one, because we have so many great opportunities coming to us, right? We have type of project that we usually work on. Like, we do a lot of marketplaces, a lot of SaaS platforms, a lot of operational applications. But it wasn't specific like, okay, we're going to build for hospitality. We're going to build specifically for, let's say, government contract or whatever, right? And when COVID came about, I think you and I, Gary, discussed this, right? Whoever focused just on hospitality and entertainment, and I mean, hospitality obviously is broad as well, right? You have hotels, you have dining, right? If they focused specifically on that, that was dead, right? You had to really quick figure out how to offer, if you already invested all this money into a product, how to pivot and find another audience that would find value from it and find a benefit from it, or you had to rebuild. So I don't know if it was specifically a gut feeling, right? But I just never understood, okay, if I'm just focusing very, very niche, let's say if I was in hospitality on hotels. Hotels had no business for those, what was it, two and a half years, right? About COVID lasted.
Yeah.
If I have no business, my hotels are probably not paying for, if it's a subscription, if it's whatever it is, right, for the product that I had. So that was one of the things that have worked out very well for us. Another example, when you're talking to clients specifically, you have to, like, that's usually when you have a really good gut feeling, if it's a good client or what they're thinking or, you know, how they're responding, like how the conversation is going. Usually, I guess because I've been doing this for so long, I'm able to, not every time, but I would say probably at least 85% of the time, pick up the vibe, pick up the energy. You know, so that, I think in that situation, gut feeling applies very well.
Yeah, no, totally understand that. Yeah, you talked about not having a niche. And again, we are, you're absolutely right. If you check any marketing 101 book or you talk to anybody in there, they go, you got a niche, find a niche and dive deep. You know, don't have it broad, go really, really deep. But you've chosen to do to a degree, the opposite to it, and just say, look, well, let me be a problem solver across the board, because what we can do is solve it. So how are you standing out? Because what makes, how do you stand about all the noise? This is one of the things, topics that comes up over and over and over again in tech, is that you might think you're unique, my product's unique, my service unique. Out there, you just sound like everybody else. What are you doing to make yourself stand out above everybody to start getting that message across to your clients or to your prospects before they even become clients?
We have different types of services, so it's different message sometimes for depending on what type of service. Our typical perfect type of client is they have an idea. It could be within organization, it could be just entrepreneur that has an idea. I mean, they worked somewhere or they had another business and they're like, listen, I could do this better. I could create a better product. If it's an application, mobile or web or software, the difference between us and a lot of companies is we define, like, you're still solving the problem for a human, right? So I think the data puts it into category, like, everybody's a robot and the data just speaks for itself, right? But a human, right, certain type of niche or certain type of group of humans responds to it differently, right? Certain demographic uses certain type of phone, right? Some might have more iPhones, some might have more Androids, right? Some might have older phones. So you have to really understand who is going to be using the product and how. So for us, planning is key. You know, like when we start a project with anybody, we usually, unless they already have it planned out, where we stand out is we usually deeply dive into planning phase. We plan it out, write out a project scope, technical scope. We mock it up just with low fidelity, you know, UX mockups, just to make sure that everything makes sense. So there's less gaps, because biggest thing that I've found is there's so many assumptions, meaning a client speaking to agency or software development company, right? Or IT company. They're like, here's what I want. They're hearing one thing. The client thinks they're expressing another thing. And then there's the actual third thing, right? So those assumptions usually cost a lot of money, because I've had clients that started working with somebody. They were like, oh yeah, we understand exactly what you need. Here's a price. Obviously, it's the lowest price just to get in, right? And then afterwards, they didn't even see design. They only saw when the design was actually developed. They're like, this is not what we're asking about. And then the client is like, well, I thought you understood what I was expressing to you, right? What kind of application I wanted to build. It was actually interesting. It was for a company that I was working with EV vehicles, right? If your battery runs out, you can go to the app and you request somebody to pull up. It's kind of like AAA specifically for EV, which I was like, it's a great idea. Right? We spoke to them. They spoke to somebody else. Somebody came in lower. I was like, that's not realistic what they're offering. I was like, if you want to try, give it a try. But I hope this is not the case, but I'll probably talk to you in about 4 months, which was the case. Right. But the challenge was that they already spent the money and they're like, what do I do now? I'm like, how don't you see what is going to be built? Right. Like, how don't you, like, for us, we plan it out first. We design it with a clickable prototype, but without the code. I know it's a little bit more of a hybrid approach, not specifically just fully agile, which is, I have my view on agile as well. Agile is great when things are moving, but in the defining stages, especially if you have a limited budget and you're working with somebody that's not very technical, you have to define it, because in their mind, they're like, well, why does Facebook have it and you don't have it? You know, that's the most common thing. Why does LinkedIn have it? You don't have it, because they have crazy huge teams, right? So you have to define what does it mean in their mind. And it's realistic within the budget to make sure that it's actually can be created. So we find it first, we design it next. Again, we design it, create a clickable prototype, connect all the screens. There's actually a really good book by Google called Sprint by Google Ventures. It specifically helps to show you, like, create these facades, right? Create, if you don't have to develop it first, create what it looks like, test it, right? Get feedback. Make any type of revisions or edits, and it's a lot cheaper and quicker to make edits within the actual design UI than once it's all developed, right? Because you have front end, you have back end, you have APIs. So that's how we approach it. That's what makes us different. Majority of the people I speak with, doesn't matter if it's a startup or if it's, you know, like a larger organization, unless there's a really good process or there's a technical person that understands what goes into it, usually they're,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people have this misconceived idea of what they think they need because they don't know what they don't know. And I don't think there's an episode that goes by where I don't use that phrase. People don't know what they don't know. And, you know, I love the fact that you can just show them something. You can wow them first without having to go down the rabbit hole of building it. You can tell them to the blue in the face, but if you can just show them and they'll go, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we need.
Right.
People don't need to. If you flick the switch on your wall because you want light, you're not concerned predominantly how the electricity goes from the light switch to the light and how you get light and light up the room. You just want light in the room. That's right. It. So if you can show them this is what your light looks like, that is a really, you're cutting out an awful lot of time and getting those people who aren't technically minded to actually understand it. You know, I think it's absolutely fantastic with the way you do that strategic planning to show them. Let's talk about lead generation, because obviously at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how good your product or your service is. If you cannot get 100%. People to look at you and say, hey, I want to know what is it you do or if you can help me, then you're the best kept secret. So, what kind of lead generation is working for you right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, lead generation, you know, as I heard somebody recently say, if you are not speaking to at least 5 people a day, you're not speaking to enough people. I was like, it's a very good point. I gotta speak to more people. So, what's working for us? Directories are working for us. Like specific directories for our industry where our clients go. Content, I mean, I create content. You know, obviously this is good for content. It's good to be seen. Right. But I haven't seen exactly a direct connection. It's more probably people are seeing it, you know, in several places. So it's reassuring for them, more of a credibility. Right. Like I had somebody reach out to me on LinkedIn for UI design for their platform. I was like, how did you find this? How did you reach out to us? I was just curious. Right. Because I get a lot of requests on LinkedIn through service requests. And it's good. But a lot of them actually are coming from India, Pakistan. And I'm like, why am I getting from India? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But this guy is, he was in Chicago. He reached out, he responded to me. He's like, you know what? We put in our request into LinkedIn Sales Navigator. And I guess you came up as one of the top service providers. And then we send you information. I was like, interesting. I didn't even know that's how it works. Right? Yeah. I thought they search for it within LinkedIn Sales Navigator. And then there's a match, but if they just put it in there and there was another match, this is what I need to look into myself to figure out how to, you know, save several steps to be shown higher on a list for those people. So that reviews, obviously reviews have been really good. We try to have a client post reviews on the directories where we are, where we're trying to get more potential customers. What else has been good for us? Getting ranked in our location, specifically within Google business profile. We're in top 3 for best website designer developer, best mobile app designer developer, best SEO agency in that specific location, which is Harrah County, Maryland. So we're coming up Harrah County, we're coming up in Maryland. So like in that region specifically, I have been getting through directories a lot of business actually out of state, like in Texas specifically, which is interesting. So I'm thinking about testing a campaign specifically in Texas. And referrals. I mean, can't beat a referral. Like the warm, you know, referral will outdo and outperform any type of campaign for sure. So it's just variety.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking. Right now I'm testing out AI tools specifically for outreach. So they have a database. I'm guessing they're pulling probably from Zoom Info, maybe from LinkedIn. So it automates the whole process. There's several of them out there. They're writing the copy. Okay. You have to review it. And there's a thumbs up. They're writing the copy. They are sending follow-ups. They have the data. And then you tell them, yes, I like this type of lead. And then you respond if you want to respond afterwards. And I've gotten a few leads from a few of these AI tools. We'll see how it goes. But I'm definitely trying to implement more AI to make sure that, you know, we're able to scale up.
Yeah, absolutely. I got you. Because I know you work with very high level clients. You know, so this is where you sort of kind of tipped your hat. That's the direction you want to go in. What have you been doing to position yourself as the authority within that marketplace? You know, that's the area you're going in. How are you trying not to sound like everybody else by being the perceived authority in the marketplace?
Sure. Just educating, creating videos and content to educate them, you know, what we provide that's different from somebody else. I kind of, at a certain point, which is actually just finished up a new site, I want to create more of a like a Google type of response on our site as Google has it, so that if they're searching for something similar, they were able to answer, even like competitors and what's in the market, right? Because everybody wants to know. They're like, well, why should I go with you? What else is out there? I want to answer their questions. So answering those questions, which hopefully will take them through a sales process of the questions they might have, which will ease the sales process for us. And when they're ready to speak to us, they're already going to be like, oh, yes, I know that here's the type of applications I'm able to build. Here's the process from planning, design, development, launch, support, right? here's what I need to do to think about marketing afterwards once I launch it. You know, I need to think about additional costs to go into hosting. If it's an app store, app developers cost, if it's for Apple or if it's Google Play Store, like that type of stuff. So they know and they're aware, because a lot of clients that I'm speaking to or my employees are speaking to, they have not heard this information from other developers. You know?
Yeah.
When I talk to them, I'm like, do you know that you have to pay a percentage to Apple when you launch? Oh, no, I had no idea. You know? So everybody tries to keep it. Like, they don't want to obviously mess up the opportunity of them getting a client. But obviously, you want to make sure they're aware, because you don't want to do everything. They're like, I got to pay what? I got to pay how much? You know?
Yeah, that's a really good way of actually building your authority out there, because people, as you say, people would not necessarily tell people what they necessarily need to know until they become a client or whatever. But if you are answering people's challenges, answering people's questions, answering people's problems prior to them becoming, even approaching you as a provider, then you almost become that trusted advisor, that trusted authority right from the get-go. And even if they're not ready to buy yet, they're going to be ready to buy later, and they'll be your top of mind, because you're the one that's gave them the information before they've had to go and look at it. And I'm glad you're doing that, because this really is a fantastic way to start chipping away at that authority block. With that being said, we all know growing a business, building a business is not easy. I mean, we always talk about how great things are and this is what we're doing. We get challenges. It's never a straight line. It's like a spaghetti reel trying to get to where we want to get to. What has been your biggest challenge in growing your business, and how did you overcome that?
Man, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, challenges definitely always come up. Kind of find your way. You know, I remember when I started in business, somebody told me, you're going to have one set of challenges between 1 to 5 years, different set of challenges, 5 to 10 years, different set of challenges, 10 to 15 years. I'm like, when does it stop? Like, never.
It doesn't. The same way with revenue. You can have the difference. Getting to a million is one set of challenges. 1 to 5, another. 5 to 10 is another. You're always going to have challenges. If it's not time, it's going to be revenue. If it's not revenue, it's going to be staff members. There's always going to be this challenge as you move up the ranks, as it were, you know? But
yeah.
From your experience, where you are right now, what has been your biggest challenge in growing your business?
Definitely getting to 1 million is not easy. That's a very hard journey, you know, because, yeah, you always have to obviously bring new prospects and clients, or those clients are growing. That's one challenge. Employees, you know, I mean, I have great employees. A lot of them have been with me for a while, which is great. That means a lot to me. You know, I try to treat people as I would want to be treated. Sometimes I'm sure I'm hard. There's no doubt about it, because I do expect certain level of execution. And I want our clients to be happy with not just the output of the work that we do, but the overall process, the communication. Because I think communication sucks in our industry, to be honest with you. You know, I'm the kind of person, I like to talk, you know, like I like to get updates. I want to give updates to people. I want to get updates as well. Yes, you have to understand who your audience is, or who that specific client is. If they don't want it, no problem. But like, I always ask my project managers, make sure to have a good communication process. Like, for example, we have an app right now for military families that we just finished, you know? And one of my employees, it was 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night yesterday, finally got approved by Apple. He got excited. He was like, finally, we got it, you know? And he sent it to the client. The client was really happy. He's like, listen, we've got to get together. You know, because it's a big project that we're building. It's a mobile application for a permanent change of station for military families. And for some reason, Apple wasn't approving. Like, they got stuck in the screens that are shown in App Store. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what exactly are they asking here? You know, so we've changed it. We had my project manager and my UI designer changed several screens, probably like three approaches. And the third time was the lucky one, was the charm. They responded like, yeah, you're approved. You're good. You're good to be, released in production. So challenges do come up. But yeah, employees obviously do change. They have things happen in life, right? And you want to make sure it's good within their personal life so that it resembles within their work life, right? Because it's going to show their energy. What other challenges? You know, I had a business partner for many, many years. And, you know, when we separated, that was a challenge, because then I had to run a company on my own, and we had another company, and we just didn't see eye to eye in some things. You know, we're good. Everything, you know, time healed everything, and then we're in really good places. But at the same time, it's a challenge, right? Because I really like relationships for me is very, very important. So I took that. That was very hard for a certain amount of time, you know, while you still have to run a company, while you still have family or girlfriends or wife or whatever, you know? So different type of challenges. Definitely exciting to see those levels of challenges and how you overcome them. But I would say those are the most important ones. And then challenge of growing a business, right? In order for you to grow a business, you have to drive more traffic. You got to talk to more people. You got to sell more, or you got to upsell more, or cross whatever it is, right? So that's, I would say everything usually in business comes down to, that's the main thing. You're bringing in more opportunities, you can figure out who do you want to work with more, right? In our industry, it is a very common issue where we don't get enough, right? Enough prospects, enough opportunities. So we just go with whatever comes along. And you don't always get the best clients from it. Thank God we've been fortunate enough. I mean, I'd like to increase it, but we've been fortunate enough, you know, to have really, really good clients, the clients that, you know, we had to share definitely bad clients as well. They've kind of like shit off.
I think everybody has. And when you get to the stage where you can fire bad clients, you know, when you know you've got enough, you can say, do you know what? I know the type of clients I want. I don't want you. And you price them out of the marketplace. You get rid of them. And it's just such a great feeling to say, I don't have to deal with them anymore. You know, and everybody listening here will know exactly what we mean when we say there are clients that we wish we never even took on, right? Yeah. And there's good riddance to them. But they were part of the necessity at the time, you know? And this is the feast or famine of tech. You know, unless you're doing work to making sure that your pipeline is full, whether you turn the faucet on or not, you just got to make sure. And that's probably one of the biggest lessons in business, let alone tech, is to make sure your pipeline is full.
Exactly.
You can then choose to turn your faucet on or off as and when you need it. But make sure that pipeline is full. Never let it go dry, because especially when you're providing services, those services come to an end, you turn on the faucet, there's nothing there. And you've got to start all over again. So I'm glad you brought that up. Well, listen, I've got a bit of a loaded question as your last question here, Max, you know, because you shared so much with us already. With your career, where you started, where you are now, the ups and downs of it all, if you could go back and give your younger self, young Max, one piece of advice, and it doesn't matter, you could be a teenage Max, it could be the first in your career, it doesn't matter. If you can go back into younger Max and give him one piece of advice for success, what would it be?
I think I would tell myself, execute on some things quicker, because I'm a type of person, I really get into a rabbit hole sometimes. I'm like, let me see how this can be done, you know? So, you know, like somebody gave me an analogy one time. Somebody might tell you something, right? Like, let's say the stove is hot, and you'd be like, oh, okay, so I shouldn't touch it. But then there's others, right? And I see myself being in that situation where I'm like, oh, the stove is hot. And I burned myself, right? So I've definitely had experiences where I should have listened and executed quicker on those things that made sense and listened to the gut. But it was kind of like a development process for myself to make sure I understood what my guy was telling me, which way or which direction to make that decision. So I think that would be one of the top things. What else? I would say that's probably the main thing. I mean, I'm happy about everything that I've done.
Just having the knowledge isn't enough. You got to execute on that knowledge.
You got to execute, and if it's not working, you move on. I've executed on other stuff maybe quick, and then maybe I gave it a little too long, you know, to see if it was something that was working for us, if it was a good result, or maybe, for example, I had an employee at one point I brought on, and I was like, okay, he has a lot of, I brought him on as a business development position, kind of like strategic partner to go into a certain market, and it was to be made sense of who he was, the people that he knew. And afterwards, I spoke to somebody that we had a connection with, both of us had a connection with. He's like, dude, you should have let me know. I would have told you right away, he is not the type of person you want to bring on, you know? So I hired him. He did help a few things, not to my full expectation. And I was very clear what I was expecting, and kind of, we wrote out a plan together, but I should have, you know, maybe checked out with a few other people that knew him from networking and just from the relationships, and seeing if that was the right move or not.
Well, we all got to learn by our mistakes, but at least we learn from them. If we don't make mistakes, we have nothing to learn from. So yeah, that's a really, really good point. So listen, Max, if people want to reach out to you, they want to potentially work with you or find out a little bit more about what you do or whatever, where's the best place they can do that?
Sure. Yeah, they can email me at maxk@moscreative.com. They can find me on LinkedIn. I think it's also under Max Krzyżanowski. Last name is very long, so I can share there if needed. And then you can also just find us on our website, moscreative.com. Again, moscreative.com.
Well, I will make sure that I'll take those links because of your name and whatnot and put it in the show notes so that they can get hold of you a lot quicker. So listen, Max, thank you very much for your time today. And as always with these episodes, time goes when you've got a great guest. Time goes really, really, really quickly. So I really appreciate your time and I really appreciate what you've been sharing with us today.
Appreciate Gary. Enjoyed it.
That's great. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. Hopefully you've taken a couple of bits of nuggets and of insights from Max today. And if you have, please make sure you like it and put a comment on what you've learned and what you would like to take away, because then other people can learn from that as well. But more importantly, please share these episodes to people around, because as Max just said there, having knowledge but not executing, there's no power to that. All the knowledge in the world only has power once you take some execution to it. So take action, be profitable, and we'll see you next time. Bye.